This evening, I just want to take you, I do not mean to tire you, but take you through a tour of the scripture just to encourage you to be reading all of it. I'm going to start at Romans chapter 1. I'm really sorry, in my Bible here, I've got about 100 pieces of paper. So you do not need to turn to the ball because I will be reading them. But first, in Romans chapter 1, I'll read the first three verses. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the holy scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. There's very wonderful verses which focus on our Saviour, but I just want to pick out two words from there, just to start. In verse 2, it talks about which he had promised afore by his prophets in the holy scriptures. Our Bibles are special. Our Bibles are the Word of God. God has recorded this here for us as the holy scriptures. And we do well whenever we pick up this book to be mindful that this is not some book of man. As we read in Peter, this is a book that is inspired by God, who moved holy men to write it. And it calls itself the Holy Scriptures. This term is used again in Timothy 2, 3, verse 15, where it talks of Paul having known the Holy Scriptures from a young age. This is the voice of the thrice holy God. I have a very old Bible. I have a very bad habit of buying, well, it's not a bad habit, but it is a bad habit of buying lots and lots of Christian books. And I have this very old Bible, which has a beautiful note in the front, which says, never fail to remember when you open this book, meaning the Bible, that you're not conversing with the Word of God only, but with God in his Word. And it's a wonderful way of understanding that we must come to our Bibles with a spirit of awe and reverence. I do temper that, put a qualification on that, because I remember hearing an account of once a minister went and visited the Congregationalist church up in the center of London. It was like the center church. And these friends had a Bible on a cushion. And there was a great show of bringing this Bible on a cushion and putting it on the front. But then they taught completely contrary to the scripture. So we do not make a ritual of the Bible. We do not make an idol of the Bible. As we come to the Bible and its message, we come with awe to respect God's word. Who are these holy scriptures for? Well, in Matthew 28, verse 19, our Saviour instructs us to go and teach all nations. This word of God is for all people. And none of us have any exemption or any qualification that would mean that we're not to be looking to the Holy Scriptures. When the Lord taught his disciples to pray, we have that petition, give us this day our daily bread. And though we read in there most properly our dependence upon the Lord for our physical, temporal needs, surely, surely this verse means much more for our spiritual needs, that daily we need the Word of God, every one of us. In Jeremiah 31, we have that passage which speaks about the Lord God putting a spirit in his heart, in the believer's heart, making that new covenant. I'll read to you verses 33 and 34 from Jeremiah 31. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Now this passage speaks about the gift of the Holy Spirit to each believer, but it speaks too of each believer needing to know the Lord for themselves, going to the scriptures themselves to deepen in the scripture. Sounds like a silly question, forgive me, but what is the scripture for? To reveal Christ. We have the Gospels, we have Luke, who begins his Gospel talking about the purpose of his writings, when he writes, Forasmuch as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. Luke was inspired to gather the writings, the collection, to set in order that we might know Jesus Christ. The scriptures are for us to learn of our Saviour. And yes, we learn most of all, well, please forgive me for saying that, most prominently we learn of our Saviour in the Gospels. John writes in chapter 20, verse 30, and many other signs truly that Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. So the purpose of the scriptures is to reveal Christ. But we don't see Christ simply in the accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We see Christ all through the scripture. This morning, I brought you to look at that verse from Luke 24, when our Savior was speaking to the disciples on the Emmaus Road, when he says, beginning at Moses, he showed through all the prophets that they spoke of him and spoke of his death. Another passage which I love to highlight about this, we find in Acts 28, right at the end of the book of Acts, Acts 28, in verse 23. And here, Paul was now a prisoner, a house prisoner in Rome, and the Jews come to speak to him. What is this all about? We've heard this fuss about this way. And so we read in verse 23, and when they had appointed him a day, There came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. Paul did not have the gospel. Paul had the gospel and he showed it to these Jewish seekers from the Old Testament. The whole of the Old Testament speaks of Christ, and every child of God should be coming to these holy scriptures, reading all the way through, looking to see pictures and instruction about our Savior right through the Old and the New Testament. There are nominal believers, and some friends might be unsure what that means. That means people who use the name of being Christian, but sadly aren't real Christians, who've been poisoned by the false notion that Christians only concern themselves with the New Testament. I don't know if any of you have been to a court of law, but they'll ask you, do you want to take the oath? And if you say you're a Christian, they don't pass your Bible, they pass your New Testament. There was an Old Testament there too, and I thought I'd grab both of them, and I swear on the Bible. But there's this notion that only the New Testament is about the Lord Jesus. And they say, oh, we don't have anything to do with the Old Testament. That was all the law. And no, the Lord Jesus is all about love. But the only reason you can take that position is if you don't read the New Testament either. Because in the New Testament, we see the gospel writers quoting the Old Testament. We see Paul. We see the Lord Jesus showing the Old Testament is all about the message of God's love, the message of redemption, the message of the Savior come to save lost sinners. And the scripture also is rich, the whole scripture, for instruction as a believer, how we ought to live passing through this world. And Paul writes in Romans 15, verses 1 to 4. Please suffer me while I read these verses. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. So we see Paul there talking to every single one of us. We can learn how to cope with all the struggles of the sinful world by reading our Old Testaments, by learning instruction from the Old Testament scripture. Paul again in 1 Corinthians talks in a long passage, so I shouldn't tie with the whole of it, but he talks in chapter 10, the first 11 verses, he talks about different incidents with the cloud when they were delivered, with the rock that provided the water, with the sins of the people of Israel. And he concludes down in verse 11 of chapter 10. Now, all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. So we see again, we are pointed back to the Old Testament to learn how we can be kept from sin, how we can be led to depend upon the Lord, how we can recognize and avoid sins by being fully conversant with these scriptures. How do we approach the scripture? Well, James helps us, and he uses a rather a curious word. King James translators have passed on to us in verse 21, when he says, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls." So again, when we come to the scriptures, we come with meekness. We come teachable. We come willing to learn. We come as children of God, having a light being given to us, but we don't thrust our conclusions directly on the scripture. We come listening. We come asking, what will the Lord say to me from this passage? And then in 1 Timothy, again, I've spoken briefly of this before. We come with meekness and we come regularly. Verse 13 from 1 Timothy 4. Till I come, give attendance to reading. Read God's word for yourself every day. Read it and savor it, and your soul will grow. You breathe all the time. You eat every day. Can you imagine what state you would be in if you didn't eat for a day or two or three? You might not die, but you'll get such a weak state. And spiritually, you need soul food every day. Just as when you wake up in the morning, you know you're going to make sure that you build some food in, ideally a breakfast. Maybe things are very tight and it's going to have to be scheduled later, but you know you're going to take food. So much more for your soul's health, for your walk through this world. Have a determination to take in every day the word of God. When we read the word of God, how are we to understand it? When I say that, I mean, when we read the word of God and we come to a portion that is confusing, is new to us, is troubling, perhaps even might seem contradictory. Well, there are many good helps written by men, commentaries, but always, always be very careful. They're written by men. They're written by sinners. So many of them, certainly of old, are excellent. And even the most excellent are going to have weaknesses here or there because they're human like all of us. So you have to be careful, but do make use of writings of godly men. But the best interpreter of the scripture is the scripture itself. Paul writes to us in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 13. He tells us that we are to compare spiritual with spiritual. Chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. Let me read from verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given us of God, which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. You will come to places in the scripture that seem to say the complete opposite of another part of the scripture. Is there a contradiction? No. How do we know what is the right view to take? We do not play scripture table tennis or football. We do not add up all the texts on one side and one another side, and the one with the most points wins. No, we understand the main teaching of the scripture, and then we read other scriptures to gain light. And we must understand that the whole of the Bible is inspired by our all-wise God. There is no contradictions in God. There are things that we delight to call paradoxes. You could talk about the totality of grace, and yet the need for evidence of that grace in works. But there is no contradiction. They harmonize together. You might ask the issue of eternal security. Aren't there portions of the scripture which suggest that someone can lose their salvation? Well, how can that be? God, the Lord Jesus Christ, promises everlasting life. He doesn't promise short-term everlasting life. The Lord promises, none shall snatch them from my hand. It's not a lie that he is saying. So when we read of a scripture which talks about people falling away, we have to come understanding, first of all, the scripture says very plainly that eternal life is eternal life. So the people who appear to fall away are those who've never been saved. I had a Russian pastor friend, and he spoke to me about the parable of the sower. And he asked me, well, how many Christians were in those four types of seed? The second and the third one, the one that sprang up and the one that grew but was choked in weeds, they appeared to be Christians, but they're not. There is only one which brings forth fruit. And so you see that there may be passages that seem difficult. Go back to the scripture. Read the whole of the scripture. That is not going to take a day. You need to be reading the scripture all your life. It's warm. I've been speaking a long time. I must come to the end. Let me encourage you. In the Lord's grace, I've been reading the scriptures now as a believer for 32 years. I make a point of reading through, covering the whole scripture each year. Some people might think, that's too much for me. I'm not telling you to do that. God is telling you simply to read some scripture every day. And if it takes you longer than a year, God be praised. But do keep covering the whole scripture. Do keep reading through the whole scripture. Because now, 32 years on, still, every day, I read the Bible and I see new things. And I see things that I think, I never understood that that was relating to that. So as you deepen in the scripture, you will become more and more skilled, more and more enabled, and more useful in your Lord's service. My favorite scripture is from Mark 12:24, when the Lord spoke to the Pharisees and said, "You do err, that you do not know the power of God and the scriptures." So we've had this short survey that all of the Bible is for you, that you need to read all of the Bible, that you can see all of the Bible shares Christ with you, and that as you read the Bible more and more, you will gain such assurance, such usefulness, such helpfulness to other believers, such enabling to walk closer to the Lord that you will praise him. And having this testimony of knowing more and more encouragements as I read the scripture, just think about the delights we have in eternity, when we have happily eternity to drink all of God in. That is a wonderful thing to look forward to. But now you can know more and more of God as you read the Holy Scriptures. Amen.